Good afternoon. Welcome to this service of thanksgiving for Jerry Myhill. My name is Elaine Blundell. I'm the minister of the church here. And on behalf of the church, I welcome all of you who are visiting us today. It's wonderful to look out and see a nearly full church. It just shows how important Jerry was to so many of us. Let's pray. Loving God, you have made the world in which we live, and you have given us life. Eternal Word, we praise and adore you. Generous God, you have shown us in your Son the wonder and the cost of love through his life and through his death upon the cross. Risen Lord, we praise and adore you. Creator God, through your life-giving Spirit, you renew and empower us to live as the children of God. Spirit of love, hope, joy, and peace, we praise and adore you. Amen. Jerry was buried this morning at Muchwood Green Burial Ground in Ramsey with his family around him. Where Jerry lies will be planted a tree, a rowan tree, or sometimes known as a mountain ash. And there's one that stands proudly in his garden, and it always looks beautiful with the berries in the autumn. The poem that you'll find at the back of your order of service was written by one of Jerry's favourite poets, Pam Ayres. And it in many ways reflects Jerry's wishes, and I will read it now. Don't lay me in some gloomy churchyard shaded by a wall, where the dust of ancient bones has spread a dryness over all. Lay me in some leafy loam where, sheltered from the cold, little seeds investigate and tender leaves unfold. There, kindly and affectionately plant a native tree to grow resplendent before God and hold some part of me. The roots will not disturb me as they wend their peaceful way to build the fine and bountiful from closure and decay. To seek their small requirements so that when their work is done, I'll be tall and standing strongly in the beauty of the sun. Some words from Scripture. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his mercy gave us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The inheritance to which we are born is one that nothing can destroy or spoil or wither. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever has faith in me shall live even though he dies. And no one who lives and has faith in me shall ever die. And now we're going to sing together the first hymn in your order of service sheet. How great thou art, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. If you're willing and able, please stand to sing. The words are in your sheet and they will also appear on the screen. seated. Let us come before God to ask forgiveness for those times when we have let him down. Let's pray. Servant God, forgive us our squandering of life and its possibilities. We have missed opportunities for service and witness. We have misused and neglected gifts which you have entrusted to us. Our love of you has been half-hearted, and our love of others pitiful. Let the glory of loving service shown to us in Christ shine through our lives, restoring us and renewing us to your ways. Grant us the confidence we lack in your life-giving spirit to do a new thing amongst us and within us. Here is a saying we must trust, one that merits full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now I'm going to invite another Elaine Knapfine, to come and bring one of our readings, please.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Well, Psalm 23... probably very familiar to many of us. It's a wonderful affirmation of the way that God looks after us, like a shepherd cares for his sheep. Sheep are not clever creatures. They will follow what the other sheep do without a second thought. I once saw a group of sheep sheltering from the rain. Their heads were firmly stuck in a bush, but the rest of their bodies were sticking out and were getting completely soaked. And they'd all copied each other just around this one bush. Well, then there was the newspaper report that appeared from Istanbul in 2005. Hundreds of sheep followed their leader off a cliff in eastern Turkey, plunging to their deaths this week while shepherds looked on in dismay. 400 sheep fell 15 metres to their deaths in a ravine, but broke the fall of the other 1,100 animals who survived. Now, I know it's very sad about the sheep. Okay, I know that. But just imagining over 1,000, 1,500 sheep all following each other over a cliff. You'd think that they would have realised that it wasn't a good thing to do, wouldn't you? But because sheep will follow whatever is happening in front of them, they need a shepherd to care for them. A shepherd who they know and they trust and who they'll follow. And King David in this psalm likens God to his shepherd. God is the one he knows and trusts and will follow. Because being like a sheep, he would get himself into difficult places. But following his shepherd, trusting where he leads, he had nothing to fear. The shepherd would lead him to green pastures, quiet waters, paths of righteousness. And even when the path goes through difficult places like the valley of the shadow of death, the sheep still doesn't need to worry because the shepherd is with him. The sheep-shepherd relationship is all about trust. And the relationship that Jerry had with God, his shepherd, was also all about trust. Especially as a missionary, perhaps, but throughout his life, Jerry knew that no matter where he was, what was happening, his shepherd was beside him and would always be his protection. Trusting in God is something we can all learn to do. Trusting the new life that comes from following Jesus. Trusting him to lead you along paths of righteousness. Trusting that he knows what is best and giving us those green pastures, those quiet streams to rest near. And even through the difficult times, God is still trustworthy. Jerry, in his humility, would be the first to say that he didn't get it right all the time. But he would also confirm that throughout his life, God had been with him and had never let him down. The Lord, our shepherd, we can trust him. We can follow him. And know ourselves safe in his care. We're now going to stand and sing a version of Psalm 23. It's in your order of service, but it's also up on the screen. The Lord's my shepherd, with the chorus, I will trust in you alone. So please, if you're willing and able, stand and we'll sing together.
Thank you.
now we have a eulogy which has been written by Joanne, and she's asked me to share this with you. So Gerald Edward Myhill, better known to his friends as Jerry, spent his formative years with his family on a chicken farm owned by his grandfather and situated on the outskirts of Norwich near a village called Cossey. School was not important to him. Rather, he preferred fishing and messing about in boats on the river near his home or roaming the woods and fields around the farm. You can imagine it, can't you? He loved his dogs who slept with him in his bed. He helped with the running of the farm. He built his own greenhouse and he reared geese to slaughter, pluck and sell at Christmas time. In other words, he learnt for himself how to be resourceful. His father was a builder, so he learned from him too. He did manage to attend school some of the time. Before joining the RAF, aged 18, he worked in Morse's nurseries for a period, and that was where he began to develop his love of plants and flowers. His first RAF posting was to Cyprus, joining 32 Squadron at RAF Akrotiri. Meanwhile, Joanne's father had also been posted to the same airbase. You know what's going to happen, don't you? On Boxing Night in 1958, they met and began a lifelong relationship, marrying in Edinburgh, but then moving round the country in a caravan for the first few years. Norfolk, Suffolk, Wiltshire, Devon, all over the place. And during that time, David and Gerald were born. Then it was overseas to Singapore, where Joanne became a Christian. And then back to the UK, where Jerry was posted to RAF Witten. Then sent on detachment to Peru, while Joanne and the boys stayed with her mother at Desborough Road. While in Peru, Jerry had his own experience of the transforming power of God in his life, and not only committed his life to Jesus Christ, but also felt the call to return to South America to serve as a missionary. Jerry and Joanne were baptised here at Trinity in June 1969. And Jerry then spent 4 years at Spurgeon's College in London while Joanne embarked on a teacher training course in Peterborough. They applied and were accepted by BMS World Mission to serve in Brazil, and together with the two boys travelled there in August 1974. The boys were educated at St. Paul's in Sao Paulo, which was the only English-speaking school in Brazil. The only English school. I guess there might have been other English-speaking ones. Sorry. For Jerry and Joanne, the first year was spent learning Portuguese, after which they were sent to... Oh, now we get onto the place names. I apologise, Joanne, if I don't pronounce them correctly. They were sent to Nova Lodrina, new little London, where they spent 16 years planting, building and establishing a church, initiating a day centre for street children and developing a boat ministry to a strip of islands on the River Paraná, where many poor families lived and eked out a living fishing and planting crops. A further 7 years were spent along a coastal region based in Antonina, near the large port of Paranagua, where again a boat ministry was developed to a series of sea islands off the coast, peopled by fishermen and their families. And finally, Jerry was invited by the Paraná State Convention to take on the role of the head of department for social action. In December 2003, they finally said farewell to their Brazilian family and returned to the UK, coming full circle back to Trinity Free Church, where Jerry and Joanne continued to serve the Lord in various ways. William Carey, one of the founding members of the BMS World Mission in 1792, spent the rest of his life serving the Lord in India. And on his deathbed, he said these words: "When I am gone, say nothing about Dr. Carey. Speak only about Dr. Carey's Saviour." He died trusting only in the grace of God for his salvation. Jerry was of the same thought and attitude. He also wanted Jesus Christ to be in the spotlight. And although he had achieved much through his 50 plus years as an accredited minister of the Baptist Union, serving BMS World Mission in Brazil from 1974 till 2004, faithfully sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in both words and actions, based on 1 Corinthians 13, he knew that he could not claim any credit for himself. We have an example of this humility in a letter that he wrote to a small congregation in Itaúna, thank you, Dussol. Itaúna. Which was fruit of the outreach work of the Baptist Church in Nova Londrina at that time. And this is an extract of what he wrote. And fortunately, Joanne has translated it from Portuguese, so we can all understand it. "I give thanks to God for the privilege which he gave us of spending our lives serving him," Jerry wrote. "A part of that time stands out as the time we spent in Nova Londrina. I give thanks for the many contacts we now have with our brothers and sisters in Christ, fruit of our varied ministry. These blessings are not because of any merit on our part, but because of God's faithfulness. Remember that the consecration of the church in Itaúna do Sul is not the end of the journey, but only one step on that journey. I always think of it like a young couple getting married. Just one step towards a life together, with responsibilities to be assumed and decisions to be made together. For me, your pastor, we can do no better than base everything on the teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 13. Love in its true form, God's love. We pray that God will pour out his richest blessings on your church fellowship, so that you become a living witness to the risen Lord Jesus Christ, alive and victorious, not only in Itaúna do Sul, but reaching out into the surrounding region." Jerry's humility and his dependence on God in every situation he found himself, as well as his love for the people he worked among, his sensitivity to their needs, their fears and anxieties, as well as their joys and love of life, meant that God was able to use him to touch and transform the lives of many people, not just in Brazil, but wherever he found himself. And I think that's evident as we look around today. Jerry's name will be included in the act of thanksgiving and memorial that will take place at the Baptist Union Assembly in June. An occasion when there is a pause to give thanks for the lives of our ministers and BMS missionaries who have died during the year. And that brings us to the end of the eulogy. But in that eulogy was mentioned a couple of times, the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that passage that was just so important for Jerry. And Heather is going to come and read that for us now. Thank you.
I'm reading 1 Corinthians 13. And yet, I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It does not self-seek him. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only reflection as in mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part that I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen.
There are a few people who have offered to share with us some of their memories or anything else really about Jerry. Might be able to fill out his life a little bit more or just tell us some things of why he is special to them. And so I will ask people one at a time if they'd come out. And Jeff Collett, could I call on you first, please? Great, thank you. Yes, that'd be lovely, thanks.
Hello, my name's Jeff Collett. For those of you that don't know me, I don't think you're expecting to see me here, but my claim to fame is that I actually witnessed some of those things that Joanne mentioned in the eulogy that was just read out. Apparently, I first met Jerry in around 1967, when I was only 6 years old, so actually I don't remember it. I'm told that we used to play together, but I don't remember that either, sorry. But what I can tell you is that the location was Singapore. And as you remember from the eulogy, Jerry was working for the RAF, as was my father, and my father and he were stationed at the same RAF camp there. And my dad does assure me that we did meet, so this is true, but second hand. And my mum also became a Christian, and dad became a Christian during their time in Singapore too. And my mum and Joanne used to pray for Jerry that he would find God. But unfortunately, there were Sunday boating trips to be had, and so Jerry was never in the church. So it's wonderful to hear that in later life, he did find Jesus, so that's great. So let's move on to something I do remember. And this was in my early 20s, and I travelled back from a 2.5 year assignment in the Antarctic. And Joanne and Jerry very kindly offered to host me in their house as I made my way back through South America. I'm not really sure if they realised that they'd taken on the task of sort of rehabilitating me to normal society, because I just spent 2.5 years on a little island, isolated with just 13 other blokes. So I needed a little bit of rehabilitation. So very kindly they did agree to look after me, and I'm grateful that they did. Thank you, Joanne. And I just want to speak a tiny little bit about that time in Brazil. The only address I had to find them was Nova Londrina, Paraná, Brazil. That was it. Brazil is big, but fortunately, Nova Londrina is very small, or was very small. So as I wandered around Nova Londrina with my backpack on, hoping for some inspiration as to how to find them, God arranged for Joanne to look out of her window and see me walking by. And so the connection was made. So that was wonderful. I spent a good few weeks, probably many weeks, with them both. And Jerry put me to work doing maintenance at the daycare centre, the children's daycare centre that's been mentioned, that they established. And it was fantastic to have some Christian company after my years of isolation on that little island, and to just learn about the ministry that they had there in Nova Londrina, just a small rural town. The boat theme carried on, as we've heard, and Jerry's passion for boats was strong, and so we went out on the Paraná River, which is a very big river, makes the Great Ouse look very, very small. And we met some of the folks he was ministering to there, and I guess I've got Joanne and Jerry to thank, really, for the inspiration that both of them, particularly Jerry, for the inspiration and challenge to reach out to people in other cultures. And 5 years later, I began my long involvement in sharing God's love to the people of Cambodia, that other side of the globe, so a long way away. I hope I've got time for a little story. Jerry being Jerry, and Brazil being Brazil, there were many adventures in the time that I was there. I'm just going to share with you one of them. I recall one occasion when Jerry and I went to the regional hospital to pick an old elderly gentleman up from hospital who was due to come home. We arrived at this hospital and it was deserted. A bit strange. No doctors, no medical staff, no nurses, no admin people, no receptionists. And actually, not many patients, just those that were bedbound seemed to be the only ones there. But Jerry, being Jerry, was not fazed at all by this, and we just wandered the corridors, in and out, looking through all the doors and all the different corners, and eventually we found the gentleman that we were going to pick up. We also found a wheelchair. Nobody seemed to be using it, so we used that and pushed him out to the car, which Jerry had taken seats out of in order to be able to get the wheelchair in. And then we bumped off back to Nova Londrina, where he was going to be returned to his home. So no paperwork, no other formalities or anything like that. So why no doctors, you're wondering? Why no medical staff? Why no admin people? Why no ambulatory patients? Was there a strike? Was there some strange pandemic or something that had just wiped out all these people? Well, the elderly gentleman who was our passenger said, "Oh no, no. Brazilians are passionate about football." And it's quite a reasonable thing for them to all desert their responsibilities and the patients desert their sick beds to go and watch Brazil play in the 1986 World Cup. But I'm sure when they got back to work, they would have been really surprised to find that this elderly gentleman had managed to abscond on his own. Maybe they didn't miss him, I don't know. But anyway, there are so many other stories, Joanne, you must know so many stories. But don't worry, Jerry, if you're listening, I'm not going to share your secrets. Your reputation will not be spoiled. But I can't resist just mentioning some of the subjects of these adventures. So I'm just going to mention them as a, like an appetizer. Capybaras. Anybody know what they are? Really big rodents. Very big rodents. And the only time I ever caught a fish on a rod and line, which is pretty odd because I was a freshwater biologist, but the fish was a piranha. So if you know what piranhas are, big sharp teeth. That's the only fish I've ever caught. And then another time keeping a very low profile in a hut on a beach. Through all these adventures, Jerry was calm and unfazed. That's Jerry. And it's a vital quality I learned to be an overseas missionary, and I hope I managed to be the same in my own experiences of serving on the mission field. He was always compassionate and very, very tolerant to those who needed his help. And they loved him. Didn't always show it in the way that we might think, but those that knew him really loved him. And I and many others whose lives have been touched just want to thank Jerry and Joanne too for the input into my life at a God-ordained moment. And I just pray now that he can see God face to face, that God will really be blessing him for his long and faithful service. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Jeff. Just want to hear all those stories. But Jerry had so many stories. Every Bible study or group or whatever we attended, there were always stories from Jerry. Always. It was great. Heather, you're going to say something. Thank you.
I'm Heather, and I used to work with Jerry in the Sunday school and in the youth club. And I've got lots of memories about Jerry, but it was his painting skills was one of the things that I remembered. Because when Jerry used to come to youth club, we'd have a table out, we'd have all the paints there, and Jerry would sit there doing the painting, and all the children would sort of flock round him and watch him do the painting. If you look around this church now, you'll see some of the paintings that Jerry did. And these over here, I remembered Jerry painting. He had a great big strip, and he got all these children round this table, and they were putting paint all over the place, as kids do. And I thought, okay, what is he going to create? And from that, he created that. And that is being creative. But one of the things that stuck in my head about Jerry was that it was something that the kids said. When Jerry and Joanne celebrated their diamond anniversary, we made a card at all sorts, and we said to the children, we're making a card for Jerry and Joanne, would you be willing to sign it? And they said, yeah. And lots of them said, I said, come on, you know, and normally with kids, if you get them to sign something, it can be a little bit hard. But all of them said, we want to sign it because Jerry is the man. So I've just got that memory of Jerry, but I am going to miss him. But yeah, thank you.
Jerry is the man. Excellent. Derek is now going to come and talk to us. I know Derek. I was going to say, I know you're here because you spoke to me on the way in.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, what a tremendous privilege it is to be here this afternoon and share in this wonderful service, remembering Jerry and being here with Joanne and the family. Tremendous. And as you've heard, 30 years of their lives were spent in Brazil. And so it's good that a lot of people who shared some of that life with them there in Brazil are here this afternoon. People who worked with the BMS, their children, and even one or two who were their members, church members. I'd like to ask all of those who worked in Brazil, who are BMS or worked with Jerry, to stand up and let's see them all. Yes? Yeah. There would be a lot more, but most of us, as you can see, are getting to a certain age where it's not quite so easy to travel as it used to be when we were on a plane every other year backwards and forwards to Brazil. But memories, we all have our memories of Jerry, and this is a time when memories are important. And they're going to become increasingly important, especially for Joanne, and remembering those good times, the good times, the challenging times, the wonderful times, and the stories that are being told now, and many others that she has as well. And we've heard something of what they were doing and where they were. We were perhaps Jerry and Joanne's closest neighbour. For much of the time they were in Brazil. We were in Paranavaí, which is just down the road from Nova Londrina, a mere 80 kilometres, and we had been praying for somebody to come there and to take on the work as we moved on somewhere else. And they came, and they were further out along the road into the interior in this place called Nova Londrina, and they picked up a lot of the work that we'd been. I'd purchased a piece of land in Nova Londrina before they came, and we'd had a work there in a place called Puerto Rico on the river, where the river Paraná is 5 kilometres wide. Can you believe that? They said it was a big river, didn't they? And of course there were islands in the middle of the river too. And so we have all these memories of that time, and Jerry took on a lot of that work that we'd been doing for a little while there. And so we have these memories that we have. Probably these are the greatest legacy that we can leave behind when we go. The work that we did, but the people who remember that work and who remember with love and affection the work that was done there and the person it was who did it. Jerry also was remembered, certainly by his colleagues in the BMS, for his unusual, challenging, wicked sense of humour. And many times at retreat he would come along and tell one of his stories, and some of them had us absolutely in stitches. Perhaps the funniest one that I can remember was when he told the story of a funeral that he'd been able to conduct on one of the islands in the Bay of Paranaguá. And this was a story which it's hard to believe happening, but he heard, I think probably by phone, that one of the members of the church on this island had died, and he picked up a coffin and took it on his boat across the bay to Ilha, I think it was Ilha Rasa, was it? Yes. And when they got there, the body was being prepared, and as they went to put it in the coffin, they found that the coffin was too small. And there were all sorts of suggestions as to what might be done here, including sort of doubling him up and so on, but the wife wasn't having any of this at all. She said, no, he must have a proper coffin. And so Jerry got back in his boat and went back across the Bay of Paranaguá and went to buy a larger coffin. It was getting quite late in the afternoon. The sea had got up by then, and the thing was rocking about, and they nearly lost this coffin on the way back. When they got back, there was all sorts of stories about trying to find a place on the island, and every time they dug down, they found an old coffin there, and when they were able to make a hole, it filled up with water, and there was just one thing after another, and as he told this story, everybody thought this was absolutely hilarious. I'm sure that his own funeral was a modicum of
we had to pump out the water.
Yes.
Yeah.
They
had to pump out the water literally because the water was
there
coming back in,
and
where they dug, it was
coming
back up.
That's right. And you try and push the coffin down, yeah, it keeps floating up again. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, it's sufficient to say that Jerry was greatly loved by all those amongst whom he worked there in Brazil, and held in great esteem and honoured by his colleagues who worked there with him in Nova Londrina, in Antonina, and we were there in Curitiba. They moved back to Curitiba, moved into the house where we had been living as well for a while, and all sorts of adventures and stories that we had at that time. So you can imagine how important it was for us to be here this afternoon with Joanne and the family, and say, you know, we remember Jerry with great affection and love, and we're so glad that we knew him and you, and that we were able to work together. So God bless you in these coming years, and thank you very much for this opportunity to say something about our time with Jerry. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Just in case you didn't catch all that Joanne was saying there, because I know it can be difficult if you're behind someone. when we got to the burial ground this morning, they were pumping out the water because of the amount of rain that we'd had, and they carried on pumping out the water from the grave until the chap who was doing it suddenly saw us coming round the corner, and he just pulled everything in and hightailed it into the bushes, as it were. But Joanne was reminded of that story that Derek told us. So there's some words here that I'd just like to share from one of our church members here, from Jean Rawlings, and she wrote this about Jerry. He was always able to get alongside people, whatever their age, but especially the youngsters who respected and trusted him. He loved nature, plants, flowers, birds, animals, especially dogs. He was always willing to share things he grew on his allotment. The panels on the walls of the sanctuary that Heather's already drawn our attention to, that he painted, showed his artistic talent. The displays that he made for Christmas and Easter in the church were much admired and appreciated by both the church family and the people who visited. The straw family, part of his harvest display, seemed to grow each year, which caused a lot of fun and laughter. He had a sense of fun. At one of the Bible study home groups that Joanne led in their home, he walked in once with a parrot sitting on his head. At that time, he kept several parrots in the conservatory. He liked to recycle things, often coming home from a walk with things that he had found, perhaps in a skip. The trays that we use in the church were ones he rescued. Most of all, I remember his kindness, always willing to help anyone in need, practically or otherwise. We will miss his gentle presence greatly. And now a family friend from Brazil, I believe you were first in touch with, Elizabeth, is going to come and share with us and sing to us. Okay.
Well, being here today reminds me of 43, nearly, years ago, when I came to England for the first time, brought by John and Jay in one of their foal trip to England. So I really liked England, and I said to God, if there is a place other than Brazil to live, it should be England. So in 1992, September, I arrived here in England to study at the RNCM, Royal Morven College of Music, and with great support from Jerry and Joanne. And here I met my husband, Kevin, and have a family of two children, Sabrina and Edmund. So Jenny and Joanne has been my other set of parents in here, well, on earth. So, and it is lovely to be here today, remembering and being thankful to God for and I'll be singing a prayer that I put a tune to. A prayer. Well, I got the date is 1514, Pearson's Quarry, something like that. And so, God be in my head, that prayer. So.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. Thank you, Elizabeth. An old lady said after a service in which Jerry had spoken about his missionary work, "That was the sort of service all dead people would have enjoyed." Evidently, the church had a strong missionary interest in the past, and it was now perhaps waning somewhat. I think that was a compliment. Let's come before God in prayer. Let's pray. Loving God, you have given us life with all its possibilities for growth and all its opportunities for service. You have made us in your own image as men and women, responsible and creative, open to great visions and capable of great imagination. In Jesus Christ, you have shown us what we might be. When you raised him to life, you showed us that death is not the end for those who put their trust in you. Thank you for this new life in Christ and for the hope of its future fullness. And this day, we thank you especially for the life of Jerry. We thank you for all that he meant to us. We especially remember with gratitude his generosity, his care for others, his beautiful flowers, his gentle manner, and so many other things. But we thank you especially for his faith in you, and the way that we saw you through him. As we remember, help us to commit ourselves anew to your service, so that our thanksgiving for Jerry might show itself in a readiness to be faithful to your calling and willing to follow where you lead. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. As our service of thanksgiving draws to a close, I would invite you to come and share more memories with each other, along with a refreshing cup of tea. Before we do that, we're going to sing one of Jerry's favourite hymns, "Be Thou My Vision. O Lord of my heart, be all else but naught to me, save that thou art." It will come up on the screen as well as in your order of service. Please stand if you're willing and able to do so.
Yeah.
for the blessing. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. May the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our souls. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.